Morning. It is a blessing to see you in the Lord's house one more time. It is truly a treasure from the Lord every time we're able to assemble with the family of God this side of heaven and be amongst our eternal family. And I'll give a disclaimer this morning. My heart is very full, and so I'm going to do my best to share with you what the Lord's put on my heart for this morning. Earlier in the week, the Lord began to really move upon my heart in light of what this day represents, and in light of what my mother means to me and what she has taught me and my siblings. And then the pastor asked us to come this Sunday school, and I believe this is what the Lord would have for us this morning. Let me invite you to meet me in the book of Proverbs, We're going to read two verses of Scripture, and then I'll share with you what the Lord's put in my heart for this morning. Proverbs 1, I'll give you just a moment to get there. We'll come down to verse number 8. We're going to read two passages in Proverbs 1 and in Proverbs 6. It's the only time these phrases are found in all the canon of Scripture. In Proverbs 1, verse 8, this is what the writer Solomon says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father," and a conjunction joining two thoughts together, "forsake not the law of thy mother." Turn to chapter 6 with me, and we'll look at verse number 20, and then we'll turn back to chapter 1. Proverbs 6, verse 20, the Bible says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." He also said this, and it's my favorite quote by him. He said, "No child can be considered poor who has had a godly mother." What a profound statement. That if you can have a godly mother influence your life and help alter your eternity, it is a great blessing from the Lord. And I understand this room is made up of different dynamics. And you may not have had a godly mother, but boy, if you have, man, what a great blessing that is. And a mother nonetheless. Thank the Lord for our mothers. And this morning, this is what the Lord's put in my heart. I want to just teach on this simple thought. My mother's law. My mother's law. Without controversy, we can all agree that mothers play a vital role in the life, the development, and the wisdom of their children. And we're living in a unique time of society and history. They're pushing an all-out assault on defamation of women and mothers. And it's no longer the societal accepted norm for women to marry, to bear children and guide the house. It is mocked, it is derided, it is scorned, it is looked down upon, it is belittled. Yet I would go on record today and I would say this, that a greater title, there is no other than to be called a mother. Amen. The highest and holiest calling, I believe, for a lady is, if God blesses her womb and gives her children, to be a mother that influences the soul of an individual for the glory of God. What a blessing, what a great and awesome responsibility. In the book of Proverbs, we see a father. We see a king, Solomon, taking his son and instructing him, guiding him, and admonishing him in the ways that he ought to go. Yet within this book here in chapter number 1, we find a phrase that is found twice in Scripture that it's arrested my attention this week, and throughout my growth and in my adult years, I've thought about this and I've mused on this and I've looked at it from time to time, but the Lord's never developed a thought or a message or a lesson out of it until this week regarding my mother's law. In this phrase, we find something that is very interesting to me. Before we get to Solomon instructing his son, before we get to this king raising a kingly line, He reaches back to someone, matter of fact, two individuals, a father and a mother, who influenced him in the ways of God. Before he can get to the place in his own life where he's instructing his son, he hearkens back to an individual that is not really mentioned much in Scripture, and that is his mother. And his mother's name, as you well know, is Bathsheba. I thought about a couple things. First, I thought about the source of this law. He said, "Forsake not thy mother's law." I thought about Miss Bathsheba. There's a lot of baggage when it comes to her circumstances, to David and Bathsheba, their relationship. And there's not a family that has not been touched, untouched by sin. Amen? However, God can take a mess, and God can make a miracle. I mean, we wouldn't do it that way, right? We would start with a clean canvas. We would start with something that's fresh and just right. But as Dr. Seidler said, God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. He reaches down in the gutter and pulls out those that are defiled, those that are dirty, those that are despised by man. He takes a terrible situation like David and Bathsheba. And yes, the first child died. God judged him. The sword never departed from his house. But then God gave him another child, and that child's name was Solomon. Became one of the greatest kings in all of human history. And when Solomon begins to instruct his son, he thinks about the law of his mother, the source of this law. God takes this mess and God makes it a miracle. God took the sin of a king and his repentance to give us one of the greatest kings that's ever walked on this earth, a man who would write 3 books of the Bible. There's no telling, my friend, the influence that mothers have had in the scope of history that have pointed their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon gives us Proverbs. He gives us Ecclesiastes. He gives us the book of Song of Solomon. And my friend, regardless of the source of the individual that's being used by God, as like Miss Bathsheba, truth is still truth. Right is still right. It supersedes our mistakes. It supersedes choices. Thank God that even with a checkered past, in grace, mothers and daddies can raise a family for the glory of God. When he begins to teach this kingly line of how their deportment should be, how they should walk in newness of life, he reaches back and talks about his mother's law. That astounds me this morning. So I thought about the source of this law. Think about the seriousness of this law. Brother Severs, this mother of Solomon, Bathsheba, had a very important task, as all mothers do. Brother David, she was raising the child of a king. When you get saved, God puts you in the family of God. He brings you together, a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife. We're not like God. God's chosen that. God's blessed that union. God's put those children in that home. And Samson got to a place in his life, and he understood that when he was being tempted, he made a phrase. He said, I'll be like any other man. God doesn't want children in the family of God to be like any other man. God's blessed that union, and God's blessed that family, and thank God for the grace of God. And even in bad situations, the grace of God can help us, amen, and take this serious responsibility, the seriousness of raising children, and be instructed by God and the law of God. And we can be reminded that we're the child of a king and that we're raising children for the king. When I make a decision, I think about the eternal impact that it'll have on those 5 Jordan babies. Miss Kristen back there helps me and reminds me and thinks about what the decisions of today will affect their life tomorrow and their eternity. I want them underneath the preaching of the Word of God. I want them around the family of God. I want them around the testimonies. It's a serious law. And those mothers are said in the Scriptures to have a law and pointing those children constantly to the ways of God. What an awesome responsibility. I see more than just the seriousness and the strength. The seriousness of the law and the source of the law. Mothers and grandmothers today, you may be here today, and I'm trying not to leave anybody out. Your child rearing days may be behind you, but if you're a grandmother, you can still influence those grandchildren and great grandchildren for the glory of God. You can quote scripture to them. You can talk about the beauty that God's made in creation. You can talk about what the preacher preached. You can talk about the things of God you learned in your devotional life. And you're still able to influence those children. And when you used to cover them with blankets, now you can cover them with prayers. Thank God you can still have an influence on nieces and nephews. You can reach, amen, to the second and third, maybe fourth generation, and have an influence in their life with the mother's law. I was reading and studying, and it dawned on me how much Solomon valued the law of his mother, because within the first 10 verses of the book of Proverbs, he mentions it. Must be pretty important to him under inspiration to mention it that early on. To build a foundation in the book of wisdom, he mentions his mother's law. I see the source of this law, see the seriousness of this law. And thirdly, I see the strength of this law. When we find this phrase in chapter 1, verse 8, and in 6:20, we see a double emphasis, a twofold cord of truth that is not easily broken. If God says it once, that's enough. But when God says it twice, man, we should really pay attention, giving heed to our mother's law. I see more than that. I see a reminder of the strength of family unity in regard to mom and dad being found in both of these verses. Look at chapter 1, verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. I see this couplet of truth and strength. Thank God for a mom and dad who are on the same page. They are coupled together. Much is said in the book of Proverbs about that. The rod and reproof give wisdom, a couplet of truth and strength. As we walk along in child rearing, we want to not only have the rod of reproof, but it should walk with wisdom and that understanding and that strength. I see this here. Thank God for a mom and dad, and thank God for you moms and dads and grandparents who are on the same page. They didn't have to worry about mom and dad being at odds or differences about something in their life or direction of the family. His truth is her truth. His standards are her standards. His direction is her direction. His passion is her passion. His law is her law. And he links them together here. He says, my son, you need to hear the instruction of thy father, yes, but also forsake not the law of thy mother. There's strength in that. Thank God that when we get on the same page as husbands and wives, we can go in the same direction and we're not pulling at each other and trying to get the children in the middle and cause a big stink. But thank the Lord we can get on the same page and we can get in the altar, amen, if necessary, get something right and make a course correction and go on for the glory of God. I see the seriousness of it. I see the source of it. I see the strength of it. Thank the Lord for the witness of two in child rearing and the instruction and structure of a family. And I don't know everything there is to know about Bathsheba's law. She's not mentioned a lot in Scripture. However, we do find a lot of it in Proverbs chapter number 31, the prophecy that she taught Lemuel. Many believe that is another name for King Solomon, and that's something we could talk about later. But in part, we find much of what she is instructing in her children in the 31st chapter. We'll not turn there. You can read it later. You're probably very familiar with it. It's a rich source of instruction from a lady who is very busy raising her children for the glory of God. The Holy Ghost reminded me this week, not just what is in the pages of Scripture, and that's wonderful, but what he had done for me personally with my mother's law. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Her law concerning kindness. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Forsake not the law of thy mother. You can think about, as we look through these verses, you can think about your mother. You can think about how she had a law, I'm sure. And sometimes she was judge, jury, and executioner. Can I get an amen right there? Somebody said the other day, she whooped me with anything she had inside. Amen. Oh my, I can testify to that. Her law concerning kindness. Look at Ephesians 4, verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yes. You know who makes the best forgivers? Those who've already been forgiven. My mom was raising boys. God gave them a daughter. She didn't live very long. And then God gave them three boys. I'm one of them. One of them's in heaven. Me and my middle brother remain. When boys start growing up, boys want to jockey for position, right? There's a pecking order. They want to establish their dominance. Well, I was the youngest of three, so I was really behind the eight ball. So I really had to work overtime to try to get, you know, come into my own. But you know what? My mother had to take those zeals, and she had to take that strength, and she had to take all of those desires, and she helped temper them with the Word of God. She would take us often to the Scripture when there was a confrontation, or maybe there was a misunderstanding, or there was a course correction that needed to be handled and then reinforced when Dad got home. Ooh, that was the worst. Go to our bedroom till your daddy gets home. Oh, then you hear the gravels crunching as his truck pulls in the driveway. Oh, that was terrible. But she always would take us to this verse many times when it would come to personal relationships and interaction. Her law regarding kindness. There's a tough world out there. There's a world out there who's been beaten and broken by sin. And they need a child of God to be a light to them in the way of kindness. And it is no telling what an act of kindness may do, an act of generosity, an act of love, forgiveness may do to change someone's forever. Her law regarding kindness. That's helped me down through my life with personal relationships. And I remember as a child, she would take us here, and she had a law concerning kindness. You know why she was so easy to forgive, Brother Ben? Because she had been forgiven. Revival broke out in Central Alabama. My mother had gone to church for many, many years. She'd married my dad at a young age, and they began to raise a family. My mother thought that she was saved for all those years, and there was no reason to doubt that. Revival broke out, and an unnamed evangelist that no one would even know if I mentioned his name was preaching, and God showed my mother that she was lost. And in her late 30s, my mother got born again by the grace of God. And she could forgive because she had been forgiven. And there was a kindness in her heart that wanted to even do for those who had done her wrong. And I saw her exercise that. I saw her walk that road and forgive and be generous and be kind. And my mother had a law regarding kindness. I also thought about this, Brother Doug. She had a law regarding character. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, my mother's law regarding character. It was something that she really worked overtime with us boys. And the Bible says train up a child. It's because our natural tendency is downward. You have to take that and correct that like a branch that is stooping down. We're like to arrows in the book of Psalm 127. And those arrows aren't straight in nature. And there's a lot of time. There's a lot of working. And there's a lot of things and heat and straightening to make an arrow be able to fly straight. My mother was constantly working on our character. She would go many, many times again to the Scriptures and pull out a truth and remind us about a character or maybe a circumstance in the Scripture. She had a law regarding character. Look at 1 Samuel 18, verse number 14. Or look at verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Mom would always instill character traits in us and take us to passages of Scripture because she wanted us to be able to live wisely in our ways before the Lord. She would always say this, Brother Jamie. She said, I have two desires for you boys, that you get saved and that you love the Lord with all your heart. And she said, that's what affects character. Character change is a work of the Holy Ghost. Yes, moms and dads are to instruct their children, but ultimately the greatest character effects are done by the Holy Spirit. and the Lord being with you. And I bless the Lord for that. I'm telling you, down through life, those words in my mind, those words in my heart, maybe a decision was beforehand or maybe a step was fixing to be taken, I could remember the law of my mother. I bless the Lord for that. I thank God for those gentle reminders about making a good decision. My mother would pour the Word of God into us boys. She would use every opportunity to remind us through the Word of God about the importance of character. She would say things like this, "Russell, godliness is always doing the right thing, even when it's the hard thing." She would say, "Russell, true character is when no one else is around. That's what really is on the inside." She had a law regarding character. She would make statements like this, "Every decision you make and every step you take, you're building a life and a testimony of who you are and whose you are." She had a law regarding character. Thirdly, she had a law regarding courtship. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 4. It's Proverbs chapter number 4. My mother had a distinct insight into the heart of her children. She never did work a job. She stayed at home, and I'm thankful for that. I know some dynamics are different. Some homes aren't set up that way, and that's the individual's business. But I'm thankful my mom was always there for us, boys. She was there when school was out. She would take us to our Christian school in the morning. She would come and get us in the afternoon, and my mom was there, and Dad was at work earning the bread. My mom was keeping the house, and I'm thankful for that. Kids can get in a lot of trouble, especially if there's no parental authority at the house, especially in this day and age in which we live. And so I'm thankful for that. But she had a law concerning courtship. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart, singular, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Everyone in here is probably past the courtship stage. Amen, for the most part. My mother had a law regarding giving away a piece of your heart to someone that was not your mate forever. Well, that was powerful. She protected us. She guarded us. She was trying her best to help us understand that you have one heart, you have one purity, you have one set of emotions. And you can't give a piece of that away to everyone that you think that you like. And you say, there's nobody in here that even needs to hear that. Well, let's make a spiritual application. You have grandchildren. You have nieces and nephews. You have a generation coming behind. And I'm telling you how wonderful it is to be able to wait on the one that God has for you. And never having given your heart or your purity to someone who's not your mate. And be able to spare that next generation from maybe perhaps something that you didn't have that opportunity. Thank God for another chance, another generation to help spare them and save them and have that wonderful relationship. But, you know, we can make a spiritual application to this. If I have a heart and you have a heart, and if we had a big piece of paper that looked like a shape of a heart today, if we started taking parts of it out and giving a part of that heart to time and part of that heart to a job and part of that heart to a career and part of that heart to this thing and this hobby and a part of this heart to this and a part of this heart to that, and then it came time to give that left over to the Lord, how much of my heart left would I have to give to Him, whom I am to love with all of my heart and all of my soul and my mind and my strength? Boy, that convicts me. I have to guard my heart. There's a lot of things, Miss Chris, in this life that want my heart that belongs to the Lord. There's a lot of little g gods out there that garner my time and are pulling and nipping at the spiritual heels of our heart, saying, "Come this way and invest time here." But God deserves first place. He deserves all of our heart. And my mother would say that so many times. She said, "I want you to love the Lord with all your heart." She would say, "Son, you have to keep your heart." That means to set a guard at it. Brother David, she would talk about how we needed to have spiritual guards around our heart and around our emotions and help guard what God had put so sensitive and tender in the spirit of her children. She watched for that. She guarded that. And she did that through the word of God. She had this also. She had a law concerning communication. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." She would tell us boys, Brother Ben, she would say, "Your words will either wound or your words will either heal. And you're going to make a decision with every word that you speak." She would make a statement like this. She said, "You know, the scripture says, boys, that every idle word will be given an account of." Benjamin Franklin said, "In the good book, it is written that every idle word will be given an account of. I can suppose that every idle silence will also be given an account of." There is a time to speak and there's a time to remain silent. My mother wanted us boys to watch our words, knowing how they are able to cut to the very marrow. Whoever made the statement, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is a lie from the devil. Words mean things. And I would say that in this room this morning, Pastor, present, the greatest hurts today are probably from words. Brother Doug, they may be spoken, they may have been written, they may have been thought, they may have been in an action, but words are powerful. God help us today. My mother had a law regarding words, Ephesians 4:29. She would warn us of the power of our words, the intent of our words, and the consequences of our words. She made this statement one time, and I'm not going to share the details. She said, "Russell," she said, "words are like a fired bullet." She said, "Once they leave the gun, you can never put them back in there." That's a true statement. She had a law concerning communication, a law concerning courtship, character, kindness. And moving on this morning, she had a law concerning comrades. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Mom and Dad were very careful, Pastor, who we fellowship with, who we hung out with, because they knew that our influence, our character was easily influenced, our life and our mannerisms. They were raising boys, and they wanted those boys to live for the Lord and not for the world. And so they were very careful with who they let in close, because children don't have the understanding, they don't have the knowledge to make those decisions. That's why God gives them a mom and dad, one of many reasons. And you know how it is. Many times young people will get something in their heart or mind, and they'll start pushing those boundaries. They'll keep going to mom and dad about it. They'll keep bringing it up. And, you know, "Can I go to Bobby's house? And can I go to Susie's house?" And, well, they may see something in Bobby or Susie's life that I didn't understand at the time. There may be a drinking problem. There may be a language problem. And they would guard us and they would protect us. And can I go on record and say, I'm thankful for that? You can laugh, not here in this sanctuary, but the world can laugh, scorn, deride. Thinking about the song, they say that I've missed out. Thank God there's some things I missed out on. I'm thankful for every hedge. I'm thankful for every wall. Now, I couldn't have said that when I was 17 years old and I thought I knew everything and my dad didn't know nothing. Can I get a witness? I paid mortgage for about 10 years and started trying to raise babies and sit up at the hospital when they were sick and having surgeries. I figured out Dad was a whole lot wiser than I ever thought he was. I found a place in a hospital. You talk about that bathroom. I found a place when we were going through something with Landon and his eye. I called him up and I told him, I said, "Dad, you're the wisest man on earth." I said, "You're wiser than I ever gave you credit for." Oh, my goodness, I could say a lot right there. You grow a little bit, you realize just how much you don't know. Yeah. My mom and dad protected us. They guarded us. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if it's public school, Christian school, or if you're homeschooled. There's influences that creep into every home and every family, and we have to be diligent. My mom had a law concerning our comrades. Well, Mom, everybody's doing it. Mom, it's not that big of a deal. Mom, I'll be back, you know, by 9:30. She would go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I didn't have any idea how serious that was until just a few months after our wedding. Chris and I were married in 2009, and several of our family and my coworkers came and graced us with their presence. Several of my high school friends came. And one of the young men that I was friends with, named Adrian Glass, he came to the wedding, and I had not seen him in many years, Brother Doug. His entire disposition had changed. He had lost an amazing amount of weight. His face was sunken. His eyes were withdrawn. His entire spirit was changed for the worse. We had our honeymoon. We started our life together. And a few months later, another high school friend called me, and my wife was there with me. And she said, Russell, she said, do you have just a minute? And I said, yes, I do. Her name's Hannah. Kristen was there, and she said, you probably need to sit down. I said, what's going on? She said, do you remember Adrian Glass, who we went to school with? I said, yeah, he and I were very close friends. As close as my parents would let us be. I'm going somewhere. My mom and dad terminated that friendship because of some things they saw. I didn't understand that at the time. He would eventually go his way, and I would go my way. She said, well, she said, Adrian has been on the run from the law. Central Alabama's where we all grew up, and they think he may be in Oklahoma. And the reason he was on the run was because two nights before, in a drunken stupor, he took a rifle and killed his mother and daddy while they slept in their bed. I've been in that home. I ate at that table beside the doorway that went into that bedroom. Adrian's mom was a hairdresser in town, had a great testimony. They were members of the First Baptist Church. His dad was the best hardwood floor man in Central Alabama, put the floors in my grandmother's house when they built their home. Had a good family, seemed like everything was okay. But Adrian got around the wrong group of people. Adrian got hooked on some very powerful drugs. And my mom and dad saw something years ago, and I didn't quite understand that. We were buddies. And mom and dad started breaking that relationship. They started pulling the reins back because they could see further down the road. They saw something in that young man. Jonadab had a friend. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab. And dad started pulling back on that, and I am eternally grateful. I'm not trying to shock the congregation today. That's very heavy. I know that. But that's how serious friendships can be. Accomplices, being at the wrong place at the wrong time, could have changed my forever, sister. Could have changed where I would even be today. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So my mother had a law regarding our comrades. I would just give this simple reminder for all of us in the room this morning, children and grandchildren alike. It matters who our friends hang around. One of our founding fathers made this statement, and I love it. Show me your friends, and I'll show you what you'll become. It is important, and it is imperative that we surround our children and grandchildren with godly influences. Iron sharpeneth iron. She would speak about Amnon. She would speak about Jonadab and how that friendship changed the course of a family forever, a kingly family. Nobody's exempt. Satan doesn't care who he attacks. Matter of fact, he would love to have a godly family, amen, and take them through the mud and try to bring harm and shame to the Lord. Let me move on. She had a law concerning charity. In 1 Corinthians 13, we see the value and we see the worth of this thing called charity. It was a pattern of love lived out by my mom. It was a great reminder of how Christ intends for her children, for Christ, for his children to operate in this world among those individuals, saved and lost alike. She would constantly remind us to walk in the newness of life and live a life of charity, to suffer long, to forgive, to be gracious, and all of those things that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. Many waters cannot quench that type of love and charity and all of those things, and I'm thankful for that law concerning charity. Finally, she had a law concerning cleanliness. Go with me to Psalm chapter number 24. Psalm chapter number 24. She had a law concerning cleanliness. Psalm 24, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." She would say things like this, "Russ, our hands are what man sees, but our heart is what God sees." She would say you need to have a good testimony with those things that can be seen outwardly, and you need to have a good testimony with those that only things God can see. She said your faith will justify you before God, but your works and your purity will justify you before men. She had wisdom, multitudes of wisdom, even beyond her years. And she would instruct us boys in her law concerning cleanliness. She would say things like this to us growing up, and I'm thankful for that. As you've noticed, as I close this morning, you probably noticed all of these laws came from the Word of God, mixed with seasoned wisdom of her walk with the Lord and her life experiences. It was our foundation for our home. It was the Bible. It was the Word of God. They didn't do everything right. I'm not trying to paint a wonderful picture. Tragedy struck our home. Heartbreak struck our home. There is no home untouched by strife and by contention, by loss, by sin. Even the best families go through the fire. But if you're saved and you know the Lord, you have a shepherd that'll go through that with you. That makes all the difference. And our parents wanted to keep the boat headed in the right direction. They couldn't stop the storm. They couldn't stop the waves. But they could keep the boat headed in the right direction. I thank the Lord today for my mother. I rise up and I call her blessed. I spoke to her yesterday. And by the grace of God, I'll speak to her here in just a little while. And I want to say this before I close. She taught us a lot of things. But the greatest thing she taught us, Miss Chris, was her law regarding Christ. She would tell us this very often. She would say, "Boys, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what you do with your life." She said, "If you climb the highest mountain and you make all the money the world could imagine and you die without Christ, it'll be a life lived in vain." She would constantly point us to the Lord Jesus Christ and encourage us in the things of salvation. Our mother and dad wanted us to meet them in heaven. That was their greatest desire, and is the greatest desire of any parent that's saved by the grace of God, to see their children walk through the eastern gate. Noah didn't have a lot of victories by the world standards, but he got his family on the ark. And that's a win in my book. Amen. When we can see our family in the glory world. She had a law regarding Christ, and I'm thankful for that. Many of you know my story. Many of you know my testimony. I didn't get saved till I was 23 years old. I wasted a lot of opportunities. There was a lot of things that I wish I could go back and redo. God had given me, Brother Jamie, the greatest foundation to serve him from. And many days I made a squander of that. Brother Doug, I remember when I got up from that altar that Sunday morning when the Lord saved me, I went straight to my mom and dad and asked them to forgive me of those days that I forsook our law. I believe in restitution, amen. I believe in getting things right if you can. Sometimes the situation is where you can't get it right. You just have to get it forgiven. But I'm thankful, amen, with arms open wide. She throwed them around my neck, kissed my cheek, and said, "Son, all is forgiven." I'm thankful today for the godly mother that my heavenly Father saw fit to give me. I'm thankful for my dad, and I'm thankful for what he's given me, and I bless his name. I hope that's a help to you somehow. I'm not trying to make too much of my mom this morning. We worship the Lord, amen. But that's what God put in my heart, and I'm not afraid, amen. I'm not ashamed to stand before a crowd and brag on my mom, and I thank the Lord for her and her influence. in my life. Let's pray. Lord, I love you this morning. I commit this service to you. I pray you'll take these scattered thoughts. And I know my voice is broken this morning. My heart's full. You could have let me be born in a pagan country, bowing down to some wooden idol somewhere, or even as an orphan without a mom and dad. But you give me one of the best families on earth, and I'm thankful for that. We're not better than anybody else, Lord. I'm not saying that this morning, just sinners saved by the grace of God. But I do thank you this morning publicly for my family, for my mom and dad, for preachers of the gospel who have helped me, for Sunday school teachers that have helped me and instructed me. And this day has been set aside to honor our moms and to thank you, Lord, for them. I thank you for my mom, my grandmother. Thank you for my wife, the mother of our children. I thank you for the moms in this room who are trying their best, Lord, to lead their children to Christ. I pray for them, Lord. I pray your blessings upon them. Guard them, guide them, and keep them. Give them the strength that they need, Lord, to continue raising children and arrows for the glory of God. Bless our pastor, Lord, as he conducts the service. I pray you'll bless him in a fresh anointing, Lord, from the Spirit of God to preach, Lord, this morning. Thank you for him. Thank you for Sister Chris, the example they are to us, Lord, as a family of God. I ask you, Lord, to help now in all that's done. Get glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.